Municipality of the District of St. Mary's, regular council meeting, June 13th, 2022, at 4:15 PM. We acknowledge that we are gathering in the Mi'kma'ki, the traditional unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. Could I roll call, please?
Warden Weir.
Present.
Deputy Warden Fuller.
Here.
Counselor Baker.
Present.
Counselor Harple.
Here.
Counselor Mammon.
Present.
Counselor Malloy.
Present.
Counselor Zink.
Present.
Thank you, Mallory. Also in the chamber tonight, we have CAO, Marissa Jordan, Director of Finance, Mary Fraser, and Municipal Clerk, Mallory Fraser. Is there any additions to the agenda? Deputy Warden Fuller.
We just add, I don't know where we'd like to put it, recommendation. We discussed this before COVID happened, that occasionally technology and spacing requirements needed. We move a council meeting to one of the outlying community centers to make it more accessible to the public. I would like to offer a location for any meeting next month.
Okay, so discussion on having meetings in our communities. Okay, we will have that as number 11. Any other additions to the agenda? Could I have approval of the agenda with the addition, please?
Approved.
Second.
Motion by Deputy Warden Fuller, seconded by Counselor Harple, that they approve the agenda with additions. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda is approved. I also have approval of the minutes from the council meeting held May 9th, 2022.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion by Counselor Baker, seconded by Counselor Malloy, that we approve the minutes from council meeting held May 9th, 2022. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. I also need approval of the minutes for the special council meeting held May 25th, 2022.
I'll second that.
Motion by Counselor Mammon, seconded by Counselor Baker, that we approve the minutes from the special council meeting held May 25th, 2022. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Is there any business arising from either of those minutes? Hearing none, we will move on to recommendations from the committees, or from internal committees of the council. So I'm going to read all three from the I'm going to read two from the committee the whole May 11th, 2022, and then we'll do them as together. Committee of the whole meeting, May 11th, 2022, we need a motion. We agree to rescind the proof of vaccination policy. And also on that same date, we agreed to table the possibility of writing a letter to support the designation of virtual Lake Wellness area for 6 months. Could I have a motion?
I'll move.
I'll second that.
Motion by Deputy Warden Fuller, seconded by Counselor Zink. The council agrees to rescind the proof of vaccination policy and agrees to table the possibility of writing a letter to support the designation of the Lake Wilderness area for 6 months. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motions are approved from the committee of the whole meeting, May 11th, 2022. There was also two from the committee of the whole May 18th, 2022, council agreed to grant permission for the St. Mary's ATV through the all-terrain vehicle Nova Scotia to construct a portion of their trail on PID 375-07662, belonging to the Municipality of District of St. Mary's. And council also agreed to nominee A as the Municipal Volunteer of the Year. Could I have a motion for that, please?
So moved.
I hit two.
You can go.
Motion by Counselor Harple, second by Deputy Ward Fuller, that we approve those motions made on May 18th, 2022. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's are approved. We also had some recommendations from our audit committee, May 18th. The audit committee agreed to amend the St. Mary's Audit Committee policy to include the recommended duties and responsibilities suggested by MNP, including examples and schedules. And at that audit committee, we agreed to amend the previous recommendation of add words, including examples and schedules, to the previous motion. Could I have a motion for that, please?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion by Counselor Baker, second by Counselor Malloy, to agree to amend the St. Mary's Committee policy to include the recommended duties and responsibilities suggested by MNP, including examples and schedules. And the audit committee amended the previous recommendation to add words, including examples and schedules, to the previous motion. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's are approved. And we have one last one from the committee that holds June 1st. Council agreed to reschedule the June 15th committee of the whole meeting to June 22nd at 4 p.m. Could I have a motion for that, please?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion by Counselor Malloy, second by Counselor Baker, that we will agree to reschedule the June 15th committee of the whole meeting to June 22nd at 4 p.m. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is approved. Okay, now we'll move on to external board committee reports. The first one is our Eastern Regional Solid Waste Management Committee by Counselor Malloy. Does anybody have any questions for Counselor Malloy on her submission?
Could I just make a statement on this one?
Sure.
On the Fishing Gear Coalition, if anybody knows of any rope or old traps that they could let me know, and then I'll take it back to the solid waste, and they're going to get in touch with Sonia from the Fishing Gear Coalition. And if anyone is interested, we can have a presentation why we should support this Fishing Gear Coalition if anybody is interested. And Debbie Felt made said she would be willing to come and give a presentation because she's involved in it at some point.
What is Council's thought on that?
I'd say probably a good idea.
Agreed?
Yep.
Council agrees that that would be a great idea to have that presentation. So what they want to do now is if we're not on board with it yet, they still want to know where there is stuff to collect, and they're still going to collect it.
They want to collect it because they're trying to recycle.
Okay.
This is why they're trying to collect all the old stuff and recycle.
So I guess to just seeing it laying somewhere is probably not enough. We should go to the landowner.
Well, there's a fisherman in our area, and they would perhaps be able to tell us, like, I've got old traps,
I've got old rope and stuff. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, okay, so. So I guess I'd put it out to the public that if they know where there is some, or if there's some they want to get rid of, then please let us know, and we'll let them know to get cleaned up.
Just a quick question, Bill. Does this include like those decorative traps people leave laying, you know, like in the front yards?
No.
Just making sure, because, you know, that's why a presentation would be good, because it could solve.
Yes.
You can have the answer to questions like that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Council Malloy? Okay. Next was the Eastern County Regional Library. Council Malloy gave us a report. There's things to expect in the budget. I don't know what exactly that means, but Council Malloy, maybe you could.
Sure. So Yeah, it was just kind of a preparatory information, I guess, for the AGM, which I wasn't able to attend. I do plan to listen to the minutes and write a report, but I wasn't able to participate. Anyhow, this was kind of what she was giving everyone a heads up to expect in the budget, and I'm assuming it's all later. I just have to listen to reports.
Okay, so I guess I did have a question on additional staff increases and increased redundancy. I was wondering if that was the, if they went hand in hand, but.
I believe so. So they were adding some staff in Shetty Camp. They're planning to open a new library that's based off the French grant and some funding that they got there. And then they were adding a position in Furness. But as far as additional staff in Sherbrooke, that was not part of the budget.
Well, I guess my question was to increase redundancy, which is the fact that we won't be closed as often, or there'll be someone to fill in. Is that staff part of that, I guess?
She didn't mention Sherbrooke specifically.
Well, but even if it was a person in, that could go wherever they were needed.
Yeah, it was just kind of a bullet point.
Redundancy has to be everywhere. It can't be one spot.
Like a floor.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, no, that, it was just more as a statement.
Okay, well, we're supposed to wait to see the actual budget before we can.
I do know that the budget passed with one nay vote from Councillor Desmond in Guysborough. But I will listen to the meeting and write a report.
So when will we expect the budget to be?
It's done now because they had their AGM on Monday of last week.
So that's something they will post?
It should be posted to their website.
Okay.
Along, I believe, their audit, which it should also be posted as well.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Mellon.
Just a point of interest here.
Yes.
Very funny that we got 3.5 additional service hours in Guysborough, Kansas on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Skip one, 6 additional service hours in Fort Hawkesbury on Saturday. So where are we getting those personnel at? The one store on Saturday? Oh, man.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Harple. Any other questions for Councillor Mellon on the Eastern County Regional Library report? Hearing none, we'll move on to Community Health Board, Deputy Warden Fuller. Does anybody have any questions for Deputy Warden Fuller on his presentation?
A report, I guess.
Hearing no questions, we'll move on to the Sherbrooke Village Restoration Committee. Again, it's Deputy Warden Fuller gave this report. So is it a consolidated report? Because it's back all the way to March. Is this more than one?
This was the last one I was able to attend.
Oh, okay.
The May meeting minutes I'll get next in 2 weeks.
Okay.
They're about a month behind usually.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions on any of the items in there? Okay. Let's move along to the CAO report. Does anybody have any questions for Marissa, or do you want to do the high end, Marissa? What?
I can highlight a few things if you'd like.
Okay, yep. Great. Thank you.
So I'll just go down kind of through the report. Just to let council and public know that we have started the process for the electoral boundary review. We have a kickoff meeting with the consultants. There's been some information gathering, and probably in the next month, they're going to be completing background reports and doing interviews with council and senior staff. And then they're going to hopefully launch the public survey as well. So just keep an eye out for that. That's coming. We did co-host with Guysborough County Housing Network a housing community consultation, just to learn a little bit more about what's going on in Glassboro County relating to housing, collecting feedback, and some priorities and ideas for change moving forward. It wasn't highly attended, but they did offer another option through Zoom online, which if anybody attended, that's great, thank you. A couple new things under administration, we did hire a new economic development officer for an 8-month term. They began, I believe a week ago or so, so just getting into the new position, and we hope to soon that her first initiatives will be the Land Development Committee and getting a terms of reference to council. So that will be coming up soon, and we've also officially hired the new Director of Public Works. So he's been very busy making sure our water utility and our wastewater facilities are operating, and then we'll be diving into, hopefully we'll be hiring another public works operator soon, so he'll be diving into some of the training for that, as well as directives under Department of Environment that are outstanding, so he's got a lot to do. Under the finance, we've done the 2022-23 municipal tax billing. It was all mailed out, so those bills will be due to be paid the end of July. And as I think we've talked about this before, the auditors were here, so that's all complete. And just a note as well, in the Community Development and Recreation Department, the municipality has signed a contract with the province again to offer the before and after care program coming up in September, which is a great initiative. Our rec department has experienced, because of the gap in childcare after school, our rec department has been picking up a little bit of that slack through our programming, so it's caused a little bit, not of stress, but we definitely are offering more programming for that. So the before and after care program is going to help supplement that need, which is wonderful. So if anybody has any questions on anything else, just let me know. I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions for Marissa?
The only one I would like to know is Sherbrooke Saturday Market. Do we know any more on how much it's going to cost for insurance?
No, we haven't been given that information yet. I do know that they just had a meeting with the village regarding, I think they're mostly focused right now on how they're going to manage in the space that they've been given to use. So that was a highlight the last couple of weeks. So I still think they're waiting as far as we know. Carrie hasn't updated me about receiving any insurance figures for us to help support. So we'll check in with Carrie again just to see when our next meeting is and when they'll have that information.
Thank you, Bill. Any other questions for Marissa? Okay, we'll move along to number 10. It's the Nova Scotia Federation Municipality Service Exchange Renegotiation and MGA Review Committee Survey. So this has been out to us for a bit, and just, instead of just wanting the boards or mayors or CAOs to fill this out, they want it brought back to all the councils and want councils to answer how each council felt on these questions. So there's 20 questions. And the information I know has been out there, and Marissa sent out some other information regarding the last time this was done back in 1995 as to why some of it was done, and what was done was a lot of reading, a lot of questions still probably unanswered, but anyway, let's move along and try to get through this, and because these actually have to be in tonight, how we feel about these questions. So I'm not going to read everything that's here. Question one is our name of our municipality. That's the easiest one we're going to have tonight. So the second part is about considering our policing. There's what we're responsible for, I guess. Is there something that at that point was a good idea to have to trade for something, and now maybe it isn't? So I guess under the last service exchange, social services, child welfare, public health and long-term care, administration of justice, environment, regular aspects of sanitation, health standards, and highway police patrols and central policing were taken over by the province and municipalities. After making mandatory conditions to correctional services, policing, local roads, sidewalks, public transit, land use planning, building inspection, recreation, control of invasive weed species. But when I read that report that you sent, control of invasive weed species was still on the province.
In the last one.
Yeah. So is this what's proposed that we're?
There, so if I remember correctly, and this is, like I said, this isn't, I'm not sure if it's accurate, but I believe that municipalities can have bylaws regarding control of invasive weed species, but there is an act when it comes to that, it's like a provincial legislation, if I'm not mistaken. But like I said, I have to look into that for sure specific to that. You're talking about the document from the last service exchange.
From the last, yeah. So is this the way it is now, right? What I just read, is that is the way it is now?
Yes, correct.
So does anybody?
Within that change, the municipalities did take responsibility for control of invasive.
Yeah, okay. So does anybody see anything in those lists that we think we're struggling with that maybe we could, I do.
Struggling policing costs.
Policing costs is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just our municipality, it's every municipality.
Everything.
I guess at the time, I guess, what did we trade for that and what, how much did it go up compared to policing? I guess that's a question that we can't answer here tonight, I'm sure. But to me, I think that's definitely something that needs to be looked at as to whether the municipalities can maintain proper policing with the cost that has been the last. So it's gone up more than the cost of living, so it's, to me, I don't know what everybody else thinks, but I know it's a big part of our, what percentage of our budget goes to policing?
I don't have that one listed there. That's the next question.
Yeah, it's in the budget documents. I can get it for you very shortly.
I know it's fair enough. Our budget's only 3.7.
Just over 3 million and policing is.
Over 600,000.
Yes.
So it's a big portion of our budget.
If they're just, you know, seeking our.
Just turn it right off.
Yep, turn that off.
Yeah.
If they're just seeking our opinion on that, I think that the Federation of Municipalities should seriously look into over 600,000, and then if we have to pay their retroactive pay from that contract they didn't have years ago, that's going to be a good third of our budget just for that. I'm hoping they'll look into the statutes that do provide for either provincial police or allow regionalization. You know, Cape Breton has a regional police. New Glasgow takes care of Trenton. There might be a couple ways that we could go about not so much, you know, trying to get policing at a cheap cost, but at least a reduced cost with people that aren't going to rotate in and out in 3 or 4 years. I think that's something that the Federation should look into. Seriously, before we can't afford any of them.
Thank you, Deputy Warden. Well, I guess the question that we have to answer is, considering responsibilities listed above, which responsibility does your council believe municipalities should maintain or assume, and why?
Well, I see a pitfall, at least for us, in public transit.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, first, we don't have it, but even if we were to get it with contracts are going out to look into it, after the 3 years of initial payments, we would be off the hook. And I'm just not terribly sure that this is a viable business venture for a rural community like ours.
So just to clarify, public transit is being discussed as an option not to maintain our question.
Yeah. Especially the price of gas.
So I guess the first one is, what should we retain?
Yes.
So make a mandatory contribution to correctional services. So what is our mandatory contribution to correctional services?
I
right now we pay around $44,000 a year for correctional services.
Has that increased over the last 10 years substantially or?
Not substantially, no.
I mean, local roads can be, I mean, we're looking at repaving some, so depending on what year it is, it's.
Our cost share for J class roads is around $25,000 a year, but then we do 50-50, for upgrading.
So we pay $25,000 besides, you know, besides that?
Yes.
So what's that, just grading and whatever?
It would be any maintenance, the snow plowing.
Okay. So it's, I notice, it says some municipalities pay a per kilometer service exchange balance fee. In lieu of accepting transfer of local roads. Is that, I mean, at the time, maybe that wasn't feasible, was that maybe something that would be feasible then? Or is it, it may have, it may have been a one-time thing you could opt into, maybe it's not even an option anymore, I don't know.
I don't know if it's an option, I'm not sure.
But they wrote it in here, so. So we're responsible for public libraries, that would be paying the fees and maintaining the building as well, I guess?
Just as far as like the provincial involvement in the library, we're seeing some issues that are having to be addressed. You know, it might be good for the province every time they renew their funding formula to review the libraries and make sure that they're meeting people's service needs and you know, that the money's being used appropriately because it is tax dollars that provincially and municipally, so. That was just about in the library.
At the very least, they should man the positions that are supposed to be there done by the province.
Exactly, and that too, yes, make sure they fill their seats.
Okay, does anybody else have any things that we can keep? I mean, yeah, land use planning, we pretty well, that definitely should be ours, building inspection. Recreation, although I know that's keeps going up every year, that's a big part of our budget as well, but that's definitely a needed thing. And sidewalks, I think that falls in our business, I think that falls in plan. So did we get highway police patrols and central police services? What, does that just mean 100 series highways?
I did put a question to Municipal Crisis and Housing and have a super response. But I am pretty positive, yeah, that is the Trans Canada that does.
And central police services, that would be like their main dispatch or their?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anybody else think of anything that we think the, maybe not give it completely away, but maybe the province should help? Question three, maybe the province should maintain or assume and why? And it might, MSA, it may not be something we give up completely, maybe we just need a little financial funding on some of it that's gone up substantially over the years, it's.
That's gonna keep going up.
Public transit really should be down in three, I think.
Okay, I have that listed for.
And the police. And like I said, not necessarily take over, but maybe something that there's gotta be a formula there that's gotta work for everybody. Maybe there's an equity something that's. I know everybody's struggling with it, but it's a, with our small budget, it's. I know we're probably paying a bigger percentage to policing than a lot of places are. Like, is there a way to make it more equitable for us?
Not advocating having our own police department, but if it was broken away from like one central area, the municipalities would be eligible for grants and awards and other things that we just don't get now because it all goes and there's something pop out.
Then you also have your cars and your.
Yeah.
There's more to it than just the manpower. It's you got to have central dispatch. You got to have it's definitely something you have to look at. But to me, if they to make it more equitable, is to across the system, no one should pay more than a certain percentage to policing, anything over and above what that rate is.
Yeah.
And the problem is, maybe could take that the rest. Like, that's just what I'm saying, is, let's make it equitable, so we're paying 20%, and Guysville's paying 11%. That's definitely not equitable, because we're in the same office, with policing and Guysville County, so. I'm just saying, it's won't make me more than not giving anything away or taking over, but to make it equitable across the province, there's a certain percentage, this is what, you shouldn't be paying any more than 15% for, or 10% or 12, whatever the number is, for policing. If you were, then the provincial has to step in, or maybe it's, I don't know, put it in a big pool for policing, and obviously a big pool, and everybody gets the money back. Equitable to pay for across the province. Either that, or we chuck this tally down, we all move to the city.
Yeah, no.
Not my choice, but I'm just saying, it's not, we just can't continue to pay exorbitant prices for things that we need. Would that help? All right, anybody else have any questions? Or thoughts? Okay, question four. What discretionary expenditures for your municipalities or council believes should be better supported by the province? Councilor Millman?
I know that physician recruitment is an area of struggle in small rural places, and I it's hard for rural hospitals to compete with the salaries of large hospitals and the workload, but what our physicians deal with here relieves the pressure in town. So I mean, really, and I know the province, there's always the threat of our hospital closing at any point in time. Why not support the small cottage rural hospitals and help relieve some of that pressure in the larger centers, and provide that level of care more rurally and locally. You know, I know we have people who are on dialysis, that if they're, I know there used to be dialysis mm-hmm. here, now they have to travel to town. So I think our hospital and the physician recruitment are things that we could use better and more support for here.
And I thought you were the long term care, so we will support it. So we can provide more support there.
Yeah.
Okay, anything more on question four? All right, question five. Can you provide a sense of priority, state the top three municipal expenditure responsibilities that your municipal council believes should be reviewed and why? We're gonna go backwards here.
Yeah.
Policing, obviously.
Yeah.
Education.
Public transit.
Well, to me, I think solid waste is another big expense.
Mm-hmm. Very.
A lot of it is passed on to the consumer, but it's where guys were selling their solid waste out of it. Sure, they make provisions for themselves in that deal, they're not sure they make provisions
for us. Exactly.
So we don't know where that's going. That's an unknown. I mean, we have a contract for the next 3 years, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that's something we need to look at. So the one we just did was through Colchester, and that was a 2-year. And I have to look up, we were just talking about this the other day, to dig up that contract to see when. Well, see, that's for the collection services, so that's separate that's a separate contract than what we do through Guysville.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll dig that one out a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So to me, that's our three top big ones: is solid waste, education, and policing. Takes probably 75% of our budget already.
Policing, education, and solid waste is over half of it.
those are the three big ticket items.
Yeah.
There's little things, but I mean.
So just for clarification, when public transit was also mentioned, does council agree that it was the policing, education, and solid waste as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they are looking at public transit right now, so we'll let them go with that for now, but. Okay, question six, what new service for us would your municipality find unacceptable? To me, when I read that, I thought roads. If they're gonna try to pawn on more roads for us. If they were in good shape, I'd say possibility, but roads aren't good shape to start with, so.
No.
I don't want them, myself.
No.
I think that would be unacceptable to try to give us more roads, for sure. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
So I do have, so this is question six, I do have one councilor mentioned public health.
And the other one I thought was long-term care.
And long-term care, yeah, I see what I have there. I don't think there's a number there, so I can reflect all of those.
But we don't actually, we don't, what do we pay for, we don't do actually long, do we put so much money into long-term care?
No, we don't put any into long-term care, no. But if the province is looking to switch all of this around, they're asking which ones do you not find acceptable, even if you're not putting any money into it now, it may end up being on the switch.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Any.
Any.
Yeah.
Okay, no more for that one? Question seven, the following person provides a list of recent changes to the MGA that have implications for the abilities and responsibilities of Espinellas. Using the checklist, will please indicate the discretionary abilities that the council believes are useful for your municipality. So we have expanded power to expend, mandate to establish a municipal code of conduct, ability to finance developments that increase accessibility, ability to enable municipalities to sell land below market value in some cases, ability to engage in negotiation with the purpose of increasing affordable housing units, and ability to create commercial development districts, and others, please add. So, when I say ability to enable, what exactly is that, that we can apply to?
Through legislation, through the MGA, we have the ability to expand that power through legislation in the MGA, so basically giving the municipality the power to do that without having the province, the legislation is clear.
Have to pay everyone.
Right, exactly, it's something that we, the council can spend that power to do, through the MGA.
So, the ability to enable municipalities to sell land below market value price in some cases, I mean, that would be great to try to bring business in if you have land available. What does in some cases mean?
I believe that's currently in the MGA, so there are certain cases stated in the MGA where that is allowed, yeah, I couldn't name them right off the top of my head.
So that's not new then?
No, I think these ones are ones that are existing, and then there's other things that there gives you an opportunity to add. But I believe all of these, Mary and I, I believe we went through, these are all currently.
Relatively new.
Relatively, yeah.
They're in there.
They've changed since the 1995, these are new since 1995, yeah. So which one of those do you think were useful? No, they're making a municipal code of conduct, so that obviously that's a good thing. I guess is there any there that aren't?
No, they're all useful.
They're all useful.
Yeah, and they're all part of, you know, what we'd like to see happen. Especially, you know, as far as affordable housing and commercial development.
So the ability to engage, so that means that we can engage a contractor ourselves or a partner or whatever, is that something that would mean to engage in negotiation for the purpose of increasing affordable housing units? We don't have to necessarily go through the province, but we can.
Yes.
Obviously, sure, we want to go to the province, which is probably not, absolutely. Okay. So all those, I guess, is there any more that we can think of? useful. So some discretionary abilities that are not useful.
I would imagine one of their staff have any quick, you know, you have the history of being here for, you know, a while, if they were looking from the staff.
For myself, Marion may have a little more history here, but we've discussed these, a lot of these encompass what we are discussing. Some of them are new, definitely, and we haven't had the opportunity to utilize them yet because everything was, with our development. That's the development part for me, six out for sure. Anything that allows us to, the power to properly develop in our areas and gives us a little more power is easier. But there are some changes there, so. Nothing else that stands out to me, Marion, do you have any?
Not for these questions.
Not for these questions.
Marissa and I had discussed each of these questions for me, so she has.
So question eight, there's nothing then? Expand it, power to expand.
To give more ability or power to municipalities under the MGA to spend or use up a resource such as time, money, or energy. I looked at that for myself. But yeah, it's basically expanding the power to expend, so be able to utilize or use your resources, give that power to the municipalities that we have, yeah.
We basically do that.
Through the MGA.
To extend, yeah.
Yeah, but there are some things that you are not allowed to do.
Okay.
Due to the MGA.
That's good.
Broad in that, exactly.
So we've really none that are not useful, and I guess I don't think there's any.
I don't think so, they're very, all very useful.
Question nine, what additional discretionary ability such as council believes should be granted for, by changes to the MGA? We didn't have any others to add. I mean, I think that the ability to sell land, you don't market value, and things like that is an important part of trying to gain, you know, a leg up over someone else, or the fact that our taxes are lower than in some other places. I mean, it's a selling factor for someone moving here to have a business. But I think that the upper things there, if they're allowed to give us the ability to do that, there's really no discretionary abilities more.
Yeah, I know one thing, if I may, Warden, that I've had discussions with counselors just from my previous positions. I know there's a lot of focus on economic development and development. One provision in the MGA that is still current is that municipalities cannot incentivize through their tax base anything for businesses. So if the businesses want to provide relief to a business for a reason, it is mandated in the MGA that that is not allowed.
So
that is one that we come across, that we thought about doing some sort of program like that, but directly through the municipality or providing a relief on taxes for business startups, stuff like that, we cannot do that. So that is one that stuck out to me.
So that would be something that would be beneficial to us then?
It would be, but I'm, like I said, you would have to also weigh the other cost of that, what that looks like on the other side too.
But if they have the ability.
Or to create a program that allows that, or policy around that, may be something that would be of use.
Okay, well, I think that's something that, I guess, that we could. Everybody in agreement with that?
No, just because we have the ability doesn't mean we have to.
No.
Right.
Okay. So information for the next question. Number of other federal provincial statutes and regulations have implications for municipal budgets as non-discretionary expenses. Using the checklist below, please indicate which regulations or responsibilities your municipal council finds to be causing considerable pressure on your budget capacity to accomplish core goals. So I don't think we have any surplus schools, do we?
I
No, we don't now. I'm actually, yeah, fortunate in that situation.
Property valuation assessment services.
Yeah.
So is this the entity that makes us keep our taxes for 20 years before like the ones that we sell property?
No, that's governed under the MGA.
That's something that maybe I have a problem with, but why is it has to be 20 years? I guess if you wanna go back to question 9, that seems like a long time to hold money.
Yes, it is, not too long.
Your statute of limitations, 7 years.
Yeah.
Because what happens to that surplus is that it can flow into your capital, right, reserves, and I mean, if it was reduced even by half.
Yeah, definitely, and that's something I think should be definitely looked at. I don't know whether anybody else has thought about that, but, I mean, I know we've got a fairly good substantial amount of money in that reserve, or in that thing you can't touch.
So the property valuations, that's PVSCs, that's your assessment, yeah, definitely provides stress on the budget.
Every time I put valuations up.
Yeah.
Federal wastewater system effluent regulations, and I know that is putting some pressure on us for sure. Could be changing the rules, and with that, we have to change our
processes, which costs money.
I know right now we're in pretty good shape, I think, aren't we? But as far as we're getting there, we do have some here.
Our utility could be more efficient financially, and with the new director of public works, that is something that we are looking at and planning for. There are ways to make our water utility and wastewater facility, our wastewater facility is probably on the better side of that, I would maybe say with the UV. But we do, there are some ways we can make that more automated to make it more efficient, not only on our budget for staff time, but also on reducing, you reduce the amount of backwashes, you reduce the amount of water output, and you're treating all that water, so those are all those chemicals, and a lot of it's getting washed, right? So decreasing all of that will help with the budget, but it's still, every year, there potentially are new testing mandates through the farm environment, which adds stress on how often you send that stuff and how often it's tested, so it's definitely an added layer.
We still have something else for the line.
Okay, good.
Crown land. I looked at a map somewhere the other day, I guess it was on, we have an exorbitant amount of crown land in our municipality that we have no voice say anything over the use of it. There's gotta be a way to maybe free up some of that for development, or something. I think it's a very important part of moving forward to try to, you know, to grow. A lot of places we can only grow in a direction that we own the land, or have the ability, or even our taxpayers own lines in, which is, there's not a lot out there.
I believe the province did look at crown land, freeing up crown land for housing initiatives, and I know that just came out recently, so they were looking at different crown land, I'm pretty sure I read that. If it's a start, exactly, if it's been, if it's.
I definitely think that's something that needs to be beneficial, if we could trade or do something.
And a couple of years ago, our municipality tried to form a working group with individuals in the Department of Municipal Affairs to look into crown land and development that. So even to increase those relationships and the abilities to facilitate avenues.
I mean even as a, you know, as a second home, cottage industry, there's a lot of lakes and shore that's crown land that, you know, that is quite valuable land as far as development goes. So it is a hindrance to the municipality, is the way it works. And that crown land, we're not getting hardly any money for it. Somebody has to get a lot more. Okay, I'm kind of bouncing around, but back to question 10, cost of police evidentiary lab analysis services. I don't think that's not putting too much pressure on us here, is it?
It's not huge in the budget.
No. Why isn't that just included in the police?
I
incident scene, if they had to go on.
DNA testing, for something else too.
But typically it's not pressure on our budget for that.
No.
Minimum planning requirements, Coastal Protection Act, well, we don't know what exactly the implications of that are gonna be, do we?
No, but from a staff perspective, if I may, Coastal Protection Act will definitely, it's gonna impact the budget due to administrative, there will be some changes there on how that's administered, but minimum planning requirements can be an example of Coastal Protection Act, but we can also think of our accessibility act, or accessibility plan, which we're mandated to put in place, there's gonna be huge budgetary implications for that. So as staff, we see this as a large one, minimal planning requirements, whether that be accessibility, whether that's land use planning, they all trickle down to us.
And again, going back to the federal wastewater system, if we decide to expand somewhere, and so that may need a bigger system, right, so it's, or another pumping station or whatever, so it's all. And the last one on this is workers' compensation board premiums for volunteer firefighters, it's not in place yet, but it is coming. So, do we actually have a cost of what that would be?
So I did reach out last week to Municipal Affairs and Housing, just to ask if they can either provide the formula that's used, or the breakdown for us as a unit specifically, because right now, they're paying it, but they lumped it all together in that correspondence for the whole of province, so we don't know how much of that they are paying over the next 4 years, but we don't know how much of that's ours. And it is hard to say, because it does depend on the workers' compensation rates, but they should be able to give us an idea how to quickly give us a budgetary item for that, so they will get back to us on that. I just don't know the capacity that will affect our budget moving forward, so.
Anything added to our budget's gonna affect it.
Absolutely. So I can highlight that one as well.
Yeah, please.
I think we're real good paying for things for 3 years and then dropping the ball, that's when it's gonna hit us.
Are there any other responsibilities brought about by statutes or regulations not mentioned above that adds another pressure on the budget?
URB regulation.
Thank you, yeah, we did.
URB?
Water utility URB, in order to do a rate increase, for 3 years, it's over $10,000.
Well, we're going through a land.
Yes, a review of our LUV and.
Of our boundaries, right?
Boundaries and, so, processes like that, that, cost extra amount of money for.
The mandate has to be done, so why aren't they paying for this?
Exactly.
Yeah, agreed. Can anybody think of anything else?
Accessibility.
So, yes, I have that one, so I minimal planning requirements, they gave a Coastal Protection Act as an example, I'm assuming that would be land use planning, so our NPS LUV update.
Yep.
Our accessibility, but you're right, the UARB doesn't quite fit into the planning, minimum planning requirements, it's more of a, I would say that was separate from any of the ones listed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can include, I can elaborate if we have the opportunity to come to that question.
Good.
Anything else for question one? Okay, here's a, here, question 12, for community or district municipality, let the warden please indicate whether in the option of your municipal council, warden system should be replaced by the majority, by a mayoral system.
Can we give you some background?
Sure.
Alright, so the difference for the public that is listening, right now we do have the warden system, and the big difference between the warden system and the mayoral system is there are still those areas, that councillors are elected in a mayoral system, the difference is, the mayor is actually elected by the people, whereas the warden system, that's all done by your councillors once they are elected. So that's one of the biggest differences, and then your names change, it's not a district, it's a ward. And I believe you don't have to live within the ward to be elected for that ward, but it's the same with our current system for warden. You don't have to live within your district to be elected, you just need on your nomination paper for five people from outside that, or that live in that district to be your nomination, so. That's your major change.
Isn't the mayor like an additional person it's not necessarily the mayor would be, wouldn't be a council at all.
As in like an additional seat?
Yeah. So like you'd have five councillors and a mayor, so you'd still have six.
So is the mayor, then an employee of the municipality, or is he still a?
Still elected. Pretty sure, yeah.
But my point is, you know, right now, we have our districts, each one of us still is a councillor for the district, regardless of the ward we're deputy where. With this, would we have the districts covered and then another person, because then I would be in favor of it.
No, it's more at large in a sense.
I think it's based on, so on your ballot.
They have a separate district.
So on your ballot, I believe the people that are running within those wards, you would also check off from that what is on your ballot for the mayor, if I'm not mistaken. It's not like a separate election.
Mayor would still be responsible for a ward then, or for a?
No, I don't think so. Mayor is, no, that, or the whole municipality.
So I'm sure the mayor would do it for the same price.
Oh.
Same price of ward.
I'm pretty sure.
Bring down to it, there's, you walk it down dollars and cents.
Yeah.
It just looks like an additional body. I mean, sure, there's things to do, a lot of work involved, you get all the phone calls. But it's like an additional body, when we're trying to consolidate and make things economical, I don't think that would work for us.
I don't think it would fit.
I don't think it would either, I don't know. But we're gonna find out. We're gonna review that.
Because you could drop to six districts plus your mayor, or seven.
Yeah.
And then that's not much of a drop.
It's actually an increase.
It's an increase in the budget, really, because your mayor's gonna be getting more money than a ward.
Yes, Mallory.
Only if. I just have a question. At the end of the boundary review, could they suggest making a swap, or is it just a boundary review of?
No, so it's a complete boundary review and governance in regards to council and how they're, how the councils do that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So ours, you like our system the way it is right now?
Yeah.
It works. I do.
It works for us. Village governance is established in part 27 of the NGA, in view of your establishment, should villages be consolidated, districts and county? Doesn't apply to us.
Doesn't.
Not applicable.
Okay.
Under the conditions, under what conditions does your council believe municipal consolidation is implied that the region should include fiscal insolvency, limited access to qualified personnel, and frequency of competitive elections for an effort to decrease costs? This is my personal opinion, the only way that we would want to consolidate somebody is if we couldn't afford to stand on our own.
Exactly.
Have to be bankrupt.
That would be the only reason, and moving forward, I don't see that happening. I hope we're in a good position to move forward, and I think that, I don't really think that it's something we're even gonna consider for a while. Everybody in agreement with that?
I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
Nope. Leave us alone.
Quick answer. 15, what incentives could be put in place to make amalgamation a viable option? Again, I don't think it's applicable.
No.
These next questions are related to municipal revenue, so we're gonna be asking Marion some stuff here.
She's got her folder out.
Municipalities can support fulfilling all responsibilities with new or expanded sources of revenue. What new or expanded revenue sources or tools does your municipality council believe to be most viable? Well, I have a good one for that one, if anybody wants to listen. Wind farm, solar farm.
Renewable energy.
Yeah. I think we are very dependent on our tax base and other things, and I think if anything that we can do, it's also green, and it's given us, it will give us an income as well. It's something that we definitely need to, one of our top priorities in our new committee that we formed for economic development.
And we have the land to do it.
We have a good piece of land, but as long as, once we have approvals in place and stuff like that, but that's something that
should be on our agenda. We can't always depend on gas tax and everything else.
Well, those things will try.
Nothing's forever, so I think we just gotta start putting ourselves in line to make ourselves independent. Tax base is important, but it's, and look to the future. The future is renewable resources. And it also makes us look good in the green, for 23rd, the greenhouse gases. Anything else anybody thinks we need to, for expanded revenue sources?
We just have to keep thinking, because we just can't tax ourselves. Yeah. 2,300 people can't support big projects, big ways.
I guess some land to a business, or land at a good deal to a business to help expand your taxes. I know it's expanding the tax base, but it's still expansion, so. It's all relevant in moving forward. All right, question 17. What grants has your municipality received for operating expenses, and how could these grants be approved? So we list a bunch there. Mary, do you know how many of those we're actually?
I've got them highlighted if you want me to read through them.
Okay, yep, perfect.
So, municipal benefits from a range of grants, so grants in lieu of taxes, the municipal financial capacity grant, that we do receive the farmland grant, Nova Scotia power grants in lieu of taxes, and the provincial federal grant in lieu of taxes. Others include the municipal innovation program, the provincial CAP or capital assistance program, CAP, fire protection grant, beautification streetscaping program, the community works program, the Canadian Community Building Fund, which is formerly your gas tax, and the 911 grant. So those are all ones that we currently do utilize.
So, and the four operational expenses, so could they, how could they be improved? Are they easy to get? Like, are they, gotta jump through hoops and, I know some are easy, could they make it easier to get?
They could, some of the reporting, and then some of the timelines for when some of them come out.
Right.
You pretty much have to be shot already.
Absolutely.
So you really have to have, and for a small municipality, sometimes you don't have that advantage.
Okay, so they could improve them for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are they sufficient as to what we're getting them for the most part?
I would say the provincial grants, those processes are much easier to apply for than any federal program. A lot of the federal programming now, COA, aside of COA, is not too bad. Some of the other federal ones, such as FCM, they're a lot more onerous for a rural municipality to take on. And a lot of the times, before you can even access the fund, you've got to do feasibility reports first, and then you've got to access another fund to do that. And it's very detailed and hard to administer for us to get that done.
So we could definitely make it easier on that in the federal part of the side.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so 18. What grants has your municipality received for capital expenses, and how could these grants be improved?
So we do receive the revitalization, no, rent revitalization fund,
yes,
so that's after the province RFD for capital. I have FCM here, but I don't think that's right. We didn't receive an FCM.
We didn't, because it was, you had to do all the.
It was too onerous. Just trying to think of everything else for capital would be, so the community, the one that we just applied through a COA for to do the side walks, if that gets approved, that will be one of them. And the same thing from before is basically being shovel ready, having the reports we need beforehand, and then sometimes those reporting back on that is a lot. It's very onerous.
Especially when you get to the federal level.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I don't know where it's at here, but if they could open it up so that there was ones for the regulations through the URB, like anything for the water utility to do rate studies and to make that cheaper for utilities would be amazing.
And the timing, I think you mentioned, you kind of mentioned that, but there's a lot of times we can't forego something breaking, whether it be a piece of equipment or anything moving forward. So it's if there's not a fund that's only available every year, it's hard to know that that's coming. So you almost have to have a lot of redundancy in order that someplace like the water treatment plant, which is good planning ahead, but if you don't plan ahead and you're left without a piece of equipment, it can be hard because you don't get to apply it for a year, and then it's too late.
The other one too is municipal scales that we're into right now. We need, there's some repairs that need to be done, and they mainly need to be done because of environmental reporting that we have to do.
On our scales at the salt waste?
Yeah, we're just looking ahead. We know there's a little bit of stuff that needs to be completed, but it'd be good if you could have, we think we may be able to get a grant for it, but easier access. Items opening up for eligibility.
Either provincial or federal, is there any emergency funding for when something like those rate completely off the rails?
Not that I'm aware of, other than there is one that the fire services can access. What was that one that we just spoke about, the fire services in Mount Mallory? But it wasn't for municipal units, I don't think it was for. Like your EMO.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Not necessarily for our infrastructure.
I think that's kind of where I meant by more flexibility for users, like.
Absolutely, yeah. They're very defined and they're very timed, which we understand. They have a budget that they have to manage as well.
Okay. Next two questions are special considerations and other comments. Is there anything about your SL the council believes deserves special consideration in terms of expenditure responsibility, legislation, or financial support? Maybe the place in there and maybe make it equitable. You say it 4 or 5 times, man. Breathe through 4 or 5 times, and you get fixed, right?
Staff did reiterate in this section of councils, would like to have this included too, but we did reiterate grants to cover rate studies such as water rates or provincial grants to help offset costs mandated through provincial regulations such as DOE and testing.
Yeah.
So we did echo that there as well. That's okay with
the
council.
Yeah, if there's mandating it, why are we paying for it?
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that that your municipal council would like to share? I think that's why the hard way by now.
Quit mandating things if we have to pay for it.
Oh, there's my percentage for police, and we spent 16.4% of our budget.
Yeah.
I knew we had a break.
We did our homework.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Because the one I have in here includes corrections and other
this was
components.
Just
that's
just police. 16.4 is just policing. Yeah. RCP.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. I know that was verbal. But it had to
very
be done.
Very important.
But a very important number.
Yeah.
So, with nothing else left.
Council meetings in the community.
Number 11.
Our addition.
Yes, our addition. With almost nothing left. Number 11, discussion on having meetings in the community at our different locales. So everybody, I guess, we don't get a lot of people here, so maybe if we put it in the community, so we can get some people out at our, I really, personally, I think we should do it just for regular meetings.
Oh, yes, you have to meet too.
It's usually a presenters, that's what they have.
Yeah.
At our committee of the whole, so I think it's not really fair to ask them to have to go to.
No,
yeah.
I think it should be regular.
I do, I have no problem with doing that, but it's all or nothing. We can't just do one or two and say, yeah, we did it. It's going to be all or nothing. So I think that, W. Ward Fuller has offered Goshen as our first step, and then we can discuss.
And we have to make sure that the community centers had Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I know Sonora doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Does the fire department, I mean, it doesn't have to be in a community center, to speak.
And you have Lakens, could have Wi-Fi, we're not 100% sure.
If I may, I'm just thinking, if it is a regular council meeting, we as staff can just make sure we have paper copies, and we don't access Wi-Fi really through the meeting. If there's a presenter, or we have somebody come attending on Zoom, we wouldn't use Wi-Fi.
We typically don't.
So that is something, if there is a center that doesn't have it, we would be able to manage, it's good to know upfront, just in case, but we would be able to manage, if we prepare that. Definitely.
So it's, I guess the first thing we know, if we, Deputy Ward Fuller has offered, but I think we would say, all of council, believe it's a good idea to do these satellite council meetings. Council Miller?
I'm just wondering on timing, if evening would be better for those, just so that working folks who may wanna come out could have the opportunity. Like at 7 o'clock, or 6:30.
Probably would be a good idea to do that for the 2 weeks. And if you wanna do that over time, every other one, or just want to do one, let's the next up, let's see, what's your thoughts?
I have to do the next up.
I've never been to Charlotte, Missouri.
And again, when the price of gas, I mean, it's given everybody.
Judy and Mary Jones.
Yeah.
Watch one of our proceedings.
Keep prettier now, but it's all burnt.
And ask questions, and have to have an impression period afterwards, so I believe, I think it's a great idea.
Just as a note to councilors, as per our council procedure policy, if you are gonna change any meetings, time, date, or place, you just need to have a recommendation before. So you could probably lump that into one, saying that you're going to move.
Council meeting.
Yeah, and change your time, and the date will, or the location will depend on which district you're in. Instead of doing it each time.
So, what are we gonna say for a time, we're gonna say seven o'clock?
Because the people that's working.
They used to be.
They're not going to get to the different centers for people that's working until 7 at least.
Council Miller?
My other thought, that might just left me.
That happens to me all the time.
Time and what all goodness, it was something good too. No.
Go on.
Gone.
Now, are you in a question?
The only thing I would like to raise when you're selecting your locations is to please try and make it accessible as possible, like, to get in and out of, and that's all.
It's almost there.
Oh, I got it, sorry. If we do it for July and we had it all planned out, then we could put it in the newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
And times that, it would be in advance for people to know. Yes.
And just to note, we do have on a upcoming, maybe the whole agenda to discuss meetings in August. So that's just, you, sometimes council does take a break in August, so just to note that, and that'll come up again in a future meeting, so. No, we did work you pretty hard. There was a lot on the go.
That was you.
So I need a recommendation that we will do the next 7 council meetings at satellite places in all our districts at 7 p.m. The next 7 months, starting in July. And maybe we'll break it up, just depending on what happens, but.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion by Council Baker, or recommended by Council Baker, second by Council Zink, that we will do our next 7 regular council meetings at satellite sessions. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. So we are gonna allow, so I guess we're gonna have a committee of the whole, I think this.
Yeah, we would have, well, we have a committee of the whole, but that would go forward as a motion, so it would be your first July council meeting, to wait for that motion to go forward all the way. And then you have your second committee, or your, yeah, I guess that's difficult because.
No, we made the recommendation, so if we just made the whole, it would be a motion.
No, it has to go to council for a motion, so your next council isn't This is council, excuse me, I keep forgetting, thank you, Marion, and thank you, Mallory, it is a motion, not a recommendation. Already, so you're good.
It already is a motion.
Yes, thank you.
It already is a motion. Very good.
So we can go ahead.
Absolutely, yeah, so it's a full motion, good to go.
So, and the first one will be, motion, if that be word colors.
And that would be, we check July 11th. Just to note back to council.
That will be at the community center, that's.
Yes.
That'd be word colors.
And that's kind of where my question goes, is you wanted to, we'll just do it month by month and pick the next one, and then we'll put it in the newsletter, is that how you?
Yeah, I think so.
Perfect.
We're gonna sit back and decide who's gonna do who the next. Yeah, or think about it for the next, think about it for the next time, and we'll, think about where you're gonna have it, and ask it, make sure it's available. Okay, with nothing else on the dock now, could I please have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Motion by Counselor Malloy, second by Counselor Harple, that we adjourn. All in favor?